Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sunday School Dropouts, the podcast where an ex-Christian and a non-believing sort of Jew read all the way through the Bible for the first time.
But we finished the Bible, and now we're doing something a little different for a few episodes. I'm Lauren O'Neill. I'm the ex-Christian.
And I'm Nico Bakulich, the non-believing sort of Jew. And this is still not a Christian Bible study podcast.
And it is still inappropriate for children. This is the second of four episodes in our mini-season 2.5, where instead of reading and discussing the Bible, we're playing a tabletop role-playing game called Testament, which is basically a Bible-based version of Dungeons & Dragons.
We are joined in this and future episodes in this brief miniseries by Greg, who you may recognize from our Job episode, and Maggie Takuda Hall, who you may recognize from the Drunk Safari and Let's Not Panic podcasts, or from our episode about the Book of Joel.
If you haven't listened to episode one yet, we strongly recommend it. Otherwise, what's going on will not make very much sense.
No promises that it will, even if you do. But we're having fun, and it's a good time for friends on the internet.
We'll now join our story already in progress. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again at the end of the episode. Previously on Sunday School Dropouts.
So let me set the scene for you. This story takes place in the city of Jericho. Ithamar is a Levite priest.
That's me.
Ithamar has to have a worldly companion. That's why Neva was sent along with him.
Neva Campbell, yes.
That's right. And Neva is accompanied by her most trusted companion.
Yes, Xena, comma, warrior princess, the hyena.
You're supposed to stay at a place called the Palms. We find another fellow staying at the Palms that night.
And another thing about Samaritans is their teeth. Is there a dentist in all Samaria? I mean, what's with these people? Look at this. Oh, my God.
This is a little awkward for me to say, but I believe I had a... I think it's called a pathetic dream last night. I had a pathetic... Anyway, you were in it. And that scary broad over there with the sick dog. Anyway, so...
Why would God send him this dream when he's an idol worshiper unless it was like really important to my mission? So I'll invite him to join us.
Neva has entered the temple.
Yes.
Elzabad greets you, dressed in like sort of a... pale approximation of what your traveling companion is wearing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, the blasphemies here are many and varied.
Okay.
But I presume that you have been dispatched to investigate a particular concern.
What concern might that be?
What should we do about these figures? They appear magically during the night, planted in the middle of the aqueduct or in the stream, a strange scarecrow with tattered clothes, and then immediately after where the scarecrow was planted, the water turns brackish.
Brackish. Nice vocab word. Cousin.
So you make your way out of town, and you follow one of the small winding roads, based on the instruction that Elzabad gave you,
mm-hmm.
up to a particular farm. You do see one of these figures in the aqueduct. It's wearing like a very ragged black robe. Instead of a head, it's got what looks to your eyes to be a human skull.
Whoa.
And in the eye sockets, you see two shiny stones.
I'll have my mage hand scoop it up and then throw it in a burlap sack.
I tell you what, when you put the skull in your sack and throw the sack over your shoulder, you gain 3 points of piety.
What?
You pass by, as it was described to you, what must be the farmhouse that you're going to visit, Hannah and Zimri's. Eventually, you can start to make out what's going on. It's a man and a woman shouting at each other. Perfect timing. I want a divorce.
If anything unholy is going on, I will officiate the divorce. What I would like to do is to remind these two women about the story of Ruth and Naomi.
By the end of your explanation of the story and how it relates to their lives, they really feel like, you know, they didn't give it a chance, and they didn't think that it was possible for unusual relationships and unexpected circumstances to bring people closer, as opposed to, you know, pushing them apart.
Cool. Can you tell us about the aqueducts now?
Well, first a fog descends, like an echoing sound, like somebody chanting or singing in the distance, but it's a cruel and sad song.
Wow.
Nothing like I've ever heard. The Water family has been taking care of the aqueducts in Jericho for generations. That's how they got their name.
Can we set off toward the water? Can they tell us where they live?
You can figure that out. Okay. Yeah. In fact, it's quite obvious because Bonanza already knows where they live. They've got a lovely townhouse, almost, built in the old city. And it's just inside the Palm Gate, right opposite the Palms. By this point, with the walk back to town and everything, it's probably late afternoon-ish by the time you actually make it to their residence.
Well, since they're not Israelites, maybe we want to send Bonanza up with all of his charisma to kind of like ease our way in. Like have them ask us to lunch in a friendly manner so we can get information from them. And he seems oily. He'll pull that off.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well, I will proceed to the gate and attempt to ply my trade as a bard.
I am sending my hyena with you, so no fucking funny business.
That pseudopenis is the most terrifying thing I've ever seen. And you've ruined my life.
And it looks like that all the time. Okay.
So there's a guard at the gate. He sees you coming with a hyena, and he sort of gives you a little nod and says, "How goes it there? What can I help you with?"
My name is Bonanza the Bard. I'm a traveling Hittite entertainer, and I am currently a gift from the Fig Bar Inn, and they sent me to your to the family here from the Palms Inn. I'm sorry, yeah. And
wait, are you from the? My accent is almost mirroring yours for some reason.
Hey,
it's so weird. It's like
hey, you a Hittite too?
Are you from the Fig Bar Inn or from?
Well, both. I've been doing a residency at the Palms.
Rotating residency between the Palms and the Fig
really
Bar.
I'm really popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'm popular too. I'm at the Poplar Inn as well.
Ooh, a lovely place. Love the date wine there.
It's really good, but I prefer the marriage wine. And the divorce wine is kind of bitter, if you ask me. But anyway. Oh, hey-o!
Hey-o!
Oh, right. That was it. Okay.
So anyway, I've been sent to play for you guys gratis. Any tips would be appreciated. But I will be the entertainment for the evening.
Oh, great. For the guards or for?
No, for the family. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, they usually arrange these things beforehand.
Well, they did. And I will now proceed to bluff. I'm going to bluff. I'm bluffing. Here goes bluffing. 24.
Hello. Oh, shit.
What's your excuse?
My excuse is that this was prearranged with the Palms Inn, and that they don't tell the guards because they don't want the dad to know, the patriarch to know, because he's been down in the dumps since he got slapped and then kicked by an ass. So it's like a nice surprise for him. So they've been keeping it hush hush, and not all the guards may know.
You know what? That makes sense. And they've done that before. So I'm going to have to let you in. And your strange dog, too.
Oh, that's Trixie. Do not touch the pseudopenis.
That's actually Xena.
Xena, comma, warrior princess.
It's a pseudonym for a pseudopenis.
Pseudonym, great.
You're not there.
I'm not there.
I just hear this nagging priest voice in my head.
In your head. That's the effect.
Oh, hi, Trixie.
Oh, you're adorable. I love your pseudo penis.
please never speak to my dog again. Bye.
Bye.
So, yes, you're shown through the garden. It's lovely. It's a townhouse. It goes several stories up, and there are little balconies overlooking the garden in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, you know, I don't know, four or five families could live in here. You're greeted by an older woman who you recognize as Anna.
Anawada.
Anawada.
A nice place, Anawada. Hey, sounds like Joyzy.
Who you know is the first wife of Maon.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so therefore the matron of the house. And she says, who is this then?
M'lady, how do you do? I'm Bonanza, the Hittite bard. I am a gift.
I can't believe we have to hear both of these accents.
To cheer up the patriarch, my man, Maon. And I hear he's been having a rough time. So I've been sent. And it's a wonderful gift to you and your family to listen to my beautiful lutings.
And don't forget my two friends who I have conveniently left outside.
I will need bring in my accompaniment tonight. We're going to do some tricks with Trixie here. And I figured, you know, but they're just the helps.
What a hideous dog.
In front of her, just pretend like she's beautiful, right? It's more about her talents and not so much about the appearances. Just like me, you know. Hey.
You're an awfully strange man.
It's true. The stranger the better is what I always say.
We'll be delighted to have you for dinner.
Well, not in a cannibalistic way, right? I take stuff literally sometimes.
Lovely. Make yourself at home, won't you?
Vincent Price?
You sound like the fat lady from the portrait outside the Gryffindor common room.
Ooh! Yes, I will make my way in the common room. I'll start tuning my lute up, cool. And then I will...
You can send a servant to get everybody in.
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah. And so, then I will have a servant come in. Yeah.
Cool.
So you are dressed as a Levite priest.
Yeah. I'm... I don't know what... What excuse? I'm going to get...
It's part of my act. It's a priest, and we're going to be lobbing insults. It's not a real priest. We're lobbing insults at the priest as kind of a little... play. No, we're lobbing respectful barbs at the piety of the priest, and the priest will retain his dignity throughout the barbs, and we're going to be having a little tension, but nothing too blasphemous, etc. You may lose a couple piety points. You got plenty to spare. Don't worry about it. Hey.
You're beginning to explain this as the... As the Water family is gathering for their pre-dinner entertainment.
Nice. Yes.
Okay.
And it's the extended family, too.
Oh, my God.
There are like...
No pressure, Bonanza.
There are like five generations of the Water family in here. They are all gathering in their common room. They're sitting on their little pillows.
Should we do a team huddle real quick?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We got to do a team huddle.
So I feel like this is a way where maybe you could test some of their piety.
Mm-hmm.
Test their piety.
Yeah.
And to what end specifically?
Well, since we're trying to figure out if they're the ones who created these false idols that are poisoning the water, mm-hmm. right? Like they control all the water, something wonky is happening.
Yeah. We want to sniff out the evil. Yeah. So what I was thinking is I would start by lobbing some mild insults at you.
I like it.
And then I would open up the floor for a little audience participation. And then if they start going beyond the pale, then we know that they're unclean. So you are testing their faith. You are doing a godly thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your shifty eyes have convinced me, Bonanza.
Trust me.
Like a great plan. And if you say... Sit, Xena Warrior Princess. She'll probably sit and only maybe jump for your jugular.
I can reluctantly agree to this plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll start off with a song.
Okay, they've gathered. The kids are up in front. You can see Maon looking a little worse for wear he's the only one sitting in a chair in mm-hmm. the back. Everybody else is sitting on cushions.
Yeah. I'm gonna start off with a little ditty. Not about Jack and Diane. It'll be about something a little flattering. It'll be about like the aqueducts and the currents of time and the augustness of the family. And then it'll
give
be
me a perform check.
It'll be a little mocking of the other family, the farmers. And I'm gonna put Hannah and Jizmi.
Yep.
That's his name out. For sure.
All right, perform check. Oh, come on, please, Daddy needs a new. Well, I rolled a 5, but that's a 14 with my skill.
Yeah, they are, they're not, you know, wrapped. Mm-hmm. But they do seem to enjoy it. They maybe see through it a little bit as a little slightly craven.
He's trying to flatter us.
Yeah. But they don't mind it. They think you have a couple nice turns of phrase, and you can tell they're on your side.
Nice. Bonanza, you need to step your pussy up. Can you like get out of here?
Well,
pop it.
I'm gonna move to the insult portion of the night, which I think may go a little better because it's more up my alley. My musical date, like my voice is a little froggy from all the drinking and smoking hookah or whatever they did back then. I don't know.
Tobacco. They didn't have tobacco.
I don't know what they did, but yeah, they probably had prehistoric weed.
We're
the Flintstones.
Not prehistoric.
It's
a
fucking Flintstones. Like, I'm just thinking about Fred and Barney and shit.
All your friends.
Yeah. I'll move to the insult comedy part of the night.
Okay. So for that, you'll have to bring out your assistants.
I will bring out my assistants now, and I'll be like me and the rugged warrior Neva. Princess.
The little Neva. Kids love Neva. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh my god!
And you should do like a weapon trick, like maybe like
I'm
a
gonna
bow. Or...
take out my sword and like juggle it for a second. Look at this
juggle
shit.
One sword.
Yeah, look at them. You know, they're like fucking bumpkins. Yeah. This is the coolest thing they've seen all fucking year.
Jericho was.
They've never even seen two swords.
I'm just
at the
like
same
balancing
time.
It and on my hand.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Give me a perform check.
Oh shit.
Uh oh. I can inspire her, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do I have
There's
that?
No inspiration.
Oh, in this.
This is pre-inspiration.
Oh, a 1. So. It did not go well.
You are trying to balance it, and then you try to, you're like, this is easy.
Ooh.
And then you're like, look away for a moment, and you come off the edge of the carpet, and the sword flips out of your hand, and it falls right in between the feet of the youngest child.
Ooh.
Sticks.
That is
up.
Exactly what I intended
so
to do.
I am going to... I'd like to pluck the sword, and I'd like to do a quick save and be like, and this is Neva, the warrior princess, and her hands of butter, and start my insult comedy portion of the...
Okay. The kids love that. The adults are very concerned. Especially the matron who is holding her head in her hands looking at the floor that just got cut up by your sword.
Sorry.
You can take that out of our per diem. Anyway... how about Hannah and Zimri? What a bunch of clowns.
Oh my god, you're hilarious.
They laugh a little bit, mostly at the specificity of it.
Anyway, I was out in the farms the other day, and I saw a really ugly ass, and I said, hey there, Zimri, why don't you stop bending over in front of me? Boom, boom, psh.
The patriarch does chuckle quite a bit at that. And then almost sort of looking for approval, some of the older sons and everything sort of like, they have to give it up for that.
Yeah.
They appreciate that.
Your Zimri stuff is killing.
I would like to move on from that family and talk about other farmers and how stupid
my
they are.
My tech 5 on Zimri is done.
Yeah. Because it's a little suspicious, so I'd like to my gaze to rove to other farmers who are also stupid and have huge asses.
And they're wrapped. You got them in the palm of your hand.
Okay.
What's your next play here?
Next play is, all right, today I have brought... A Kohan here, this Kohan believes that when he defecates stool from his anus, that it contains no odor whatsoever and thus is not offensive. But I have something to tell this Kohan about the odors emanating from his anus.
So most of the room is aghast. They... are like the adults, their jaws have dropped. You brought in a Levite priest in full regalia and you're about to start literally talking shit to them. Everybody give me a spot check. You have a spot skill. Everybody roll.
Okay.
I fail.
So I rolled a 19. That was Neva.
Oh.
I rolled a 20.
All right. With the keen eye.
And I have a... +2.
Yeah. I mean, 20 is an automatic success.
Okay.
With the keen eye of somebody who's been, let's just face it, mocked before.
I don't know what you're talking about, but continue.
You notice that there is, in fact, one person who is not aghast and, in fact, has the barest smirk of a smile on their face.
So impious. Who is this?
You don't know who it is, but you can see his face very clearly. Okay, okay. And you could identify him later.
And I would like to walk that back and be like, now listen, this is not a real Kohan. That was a little fun. I think they're great and your faith is fantastic. But we do like to have a fun. So, Kohan, I heard that there is some delicious shellfish out here. Would you like to watch me eat it?
That's not funny.
Give me a bluff check to carry out this ruse here.
Oh, 26.
Improbably.
I'm doing great mime work. It's very physical.
You know, you were saying this isn't a real Kohan, but and people are like, really? Really? But you're selling it. Somehow, whatever it is you got inside of you, you are selling this bit.
I think I can support it. If I want to use this spell that is called message.
Okay.
And then I will whisper I'll use ventriloquism. I think that's a better spell to use.
Ventriloquism.
That's one of your spells.
Yeah, I have a ventriloquism.
I didn't realize bards were just magicians.
We're really shitty parlor magicians.
With this accent can actually do ventriloquism.
In version 3.5.
It comes with the accent.
I would like to create like a crowd murmur about like, oh, he's right. It looks fake. Oh, yeah, that's not a real gem. Oh, yeah. And just like that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I hope it's crowded enough where it doesn't seem weird. It's just like people think other people are murmuring around them.
Okay, you can succeed if you can pass a check to make it so that people don't know that you're casting a spell, that you're influencing them.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It doesn't have the components here, so I don't know what it requires.
Would that be disguise?
I'm doing a lot of like mime work, so it may be easy to disguise.
No, totally. Like, yeah. Give me a disguise check.
Okay, 20.
20.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you hear in the crowd, like, maybe he's not so bad. Or like, I like this man.
It's basically, I just routinely provide my own laugh track to try to get audiences to hate me
less.
This
is a trick you may have pulled before.
No comment. My wife, like, oh, he's not too bad at sex. No one else is here. I know it's you, Bonanza. Who would be whispering that to me?
Someone's whispering, he's not too bad at sex.
That's bigger than hyena pseudopenis.
So
it's probably not, though.
Against all the odds.
Jesus.
Against all the odds, you're... impromptu and frankly blasphemous performance goes over pretty well.
Yeah.
Pretty well in the House of Water.
I think that we're, as co-hosts of this podcast, we're familiar with that feeling.
And at the end of the night, everybody comes up to thank you. They're going to sit down for dinner. You get your dinner in the back if you want it. And you get your 4 shekels for plan.
Woohoo.
That's one for me and one for Xena, Warrior Princess, by the way.
It's implied that you can get your dinner and leave as you like. The family has dispersed. They're sitting down to their big family dinner.
Okay, so I've identified in the crowd
a
possible turncoat.
Correct. Would you like to ask maybe the servant that you were paid by, who that person is?
Yeah, do that.
It seems like a good course of action.
Do I need to roll something?
No. You can just ask.
All right. Who is that guy?
That's Mephi Baal.
Mephi Baal. That's, you know, that's an interesting name. That has the name of an idol in his name.
Yes, it's an old family name. He's, I think, fifth or sixth in line to be the head of the family. He's one of the younger brothers in the second generation.
Okay.
Anything else, or do you want your dinner? Or
if we can separate him from the pack, anyone?
I ask the servant a little more about him?
Oh yeah,
sure.
Well, like, can you tell me anything about him? How does he strike you?
How does he strike me?
Open hand.
I just
or
open hand, closed hand.
I just work for him. I don't know.
Okay. Is there some sort of like?
You want to press him for information?
Yeah.
Would you maybe like to use your status as a priest to intimidate him?
Intimidate? Yeah. I mean, does he believe? Yeah, he wasn't in the room. He believes I'm a priest. He didn't see this blasphemous comedy routine. Yeah, I'll intimidate. What do I do? Roll?
You roll d20 and add your intimidate score to that.
Ooh.
So I rolled a, what is that, a 16?
Mm-hmm. Or a 91.
My intimidate is zero. So
what do you do to try to intimidate the servant into telling you what you want to know?
I just kind of like step closer to him and kind of angle my turban so that the gems kind of shine in his eyes.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey, I say, tell me more. What do you think of him? Is he a good man? Is he a pious man?
I mean, he's not a pious man.
In what way?
Well, and don't tell anyone that you heard this from me, the servant whose name you haven't asked. But
who has the same weird accent as everyone else in this town.
But people have been seeing him, you know, out late. They've been seeing him with women from the town. He's been known to...
Nice.
He's been known to do work on the Sabbath.
Ay, ay, ay. So he's fornicating, he's fivenicating, gosh.
I've never seen any of this myself. And again, you didn't hear it from me, okay. The servant whose name you haven't asked.
Maybe it's better not to learn your name at all.
You know what? That's actually really smart. Forget I told you that you didn't know my name.
But I know that I don't know your name. I can't forget that.
Look, that's all I can tell you, okay?
Okay.
I have to get back.
Thanks.
Just for my information, have you ever seen him palling around with any Hittites?
I can't say I've ever met a Hittite.
Well, nice to meet you. You met one right now.
So what's your name?
I'd rather you not know.
Thought we could sneak in there with a Hittite.
Can I intimidate him again?
Yeah, go for it.
That one's a 7, and I have plus 0.
Says,
smell you later.
Look, your dinner's there. You've been paid. Please leave.
So.
Team huddle.
Okay.
I feel like you've done a great job gleaning or getting this information out of the crowd. You've done a great job intimidating this servant. Now it's time to maybe like lean on my seductive powers, and I'm going to go after this fifth in line
messy ball.
Yeah, see what I can. I mean, like, my piety score is already pretty low. Like, what's it really going to hurt me?
I mean, if you're doing this in service to the Lord.
Yeah, totally. That's why. That's the only reason, not just because it's been a while. Yeah.
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 That's exactly what I think.
Also, I'm just offering it that I can cast invisibility. I've never used the skill to peep into changing rooms. It's not something I would do. I don't know why you would even accuse me of such a thing. I am not that desperate. I'm a musician. Plenty of people find me attractive. Anyway, I could also... Excuse me, I have a charisma of 16, okay? I'm not that hideous. Jeez Louise.
Steve Buscemi also has a lot of charisma.
He does. It's all in his eyes. Okay. So I am offering my services to be a kind of chaperone, if you will.
Yeah.
And I could be there invisible. I would like to learn more about this guy and maybe follow him around, etc.
What if you did recon on him?
Yeah, I could do a little recon.
So
I'm an ex-con, so it wouldn't be too far afield for me.
From your understanding, there's this big family dinner tonight. Nobody's getting out of it, including Mevi Ball.
Mm-hmm.
At least until much, much later at night.
Mm.
So that would give you plenty of time to snoop on them at dinner, come back and report to us what their family dynamic is like, right?
I could do such a thing.
Are we doing too much research? Should we just go in with my sword? I have a sword, you guys. I have a hyena.
The hyena has a pseudo-penis, which can turn into a sword.
We are both armed.
I think we should isolate him, get him alone, and then pounce on this obvious blasphemer.
Okay, but like, you guys have to promise to tell me like the minute it's time to use my sword.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Hopefully I will be relieved of my duty by then.
So we're gonna what? Eavesdrop on the dinner and then seduce? Is that the plan?
I have a question for you.
Yeah, please.
As a Levite priest, are you okay with somebody using conjuration and seduction
to accomplish this task?
In the service of the Lord.
Well, so like for a Hittite, I that's none of my business.
But I mean, he's a part of your investigation here, isn't he?
Well, yes, but like that's his uncleanliness.
Listen, listen, God is using me. I'm the one who had the gosh darn dream, okay? And I'm going to use the tools at my disposal to help your God out. Because he seems like a decent guy, all right? And he's got me, you know, wrapped up in your whole shindig. So I may as well use everything at my disposal.
God used Balaam, even though Balaam was a pagan.
Mm-hmm.
God used Pharaoh by hardening his heart. And
yeah, arteriosclerosis.
We all know the things that Pharaoh did were not holy.
They were un-Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, for convincing yourself to...
No one's going to comment on that.
For convincing yourself to allow the use of conjuration and seduction in pursuit of your own goals,
uh-huh.
You're going to gain 2 points of piety.
I'm going to gain 2 points. Wow.
Do I gain any piety for helping her serve?
My powers of self-deception are very strong.
You quoted scripture. You seem like you're on solid ground there, honestly.
Do you notice that the priest gains piety for breaking the law and that the non-priest is punished?
That's hilarious. Bullshit.
I love religion. It's fantastic.
I don't make the rules. God makes the rules. I just follow them.
So what's your guys' plan? You know that Mephibal probably won't be free until later at night.
Okay, so I will wait with them. I think that we should. We should leave, and then I will wait and cast my invisibility. I will sneak back in, which is not something I've ever done here before, and I definitely haven't sampled any of their lambs.
We can't leave because Neva needs to have a plausible reason for being here, right? Like, well, we're probably going to spend the night here. They wouldn't kick us out.
He will leave.
They are gonna kick you out.
He will leave.
Climbing, jumping, and moving silently skills like very high. If I need to like rappel Spider-Man style into his tent.
You already rappel me. Anyway. Yeah, I think that's a good plan. I think we have to leave, and then he will either leave or we will go in and get him.
Yeah.
It's maybe about 9 o'clock at night when you guys get out of there. Are you guys just gonna like sort of post up in the alley behind the house?
I'm gonna go back in. I'm gonna try to move silently and invisibly.
You probably have to wait for a little bit.
Yeah, we'll wait until he gets a little drunk or dinner starts ending.
Okay, so we should do something in that time period.
Yeah, you could.
Like pray for extra purity points? Come on, help me out. I'm at -2 here, you guys.
I want to go invisible and go back and do reconnaissance sooner rather than later.
Well, okay, so he can go invisible.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, can I look at my fucking spells here. Summon
you
monster.
You won't find like pray to the God of Israel
on
your spell
sheet.
Pray to
the God of Israel
sheet.
On my spell sheet.
Ooh, wait, I would like to cast a spell. Could I send an animal messenger in to eavesdrop for me?
That's not how that works exactly. Oh, so the animal messenger can deliver a message. They can't.
Can I deliver a message to the brother that we're trying to lure out?
Ooh.
Yes.
And it
might be quite odd.
Yeah.
If he's still at dinner.
If his like lamb shank starts speaking to him, it's like, hey, you want to wrestle?
What kind of discreet animal were you thinking of?
Okay, like a mouse is really small and quiet.
That's true.
And if it calmly ascended its leg in a way that he didn't find creepy, it was like, psst.
Look, she wants to send a sexy mouse.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
It's basically a sext, but in a mouse.
A mouse sext.
Yeah.
Classic sext.
Send animal messenger. Send animal sext.
Yeah, that's normal, right?
I mean,
direct mousage.
Yeah. Yes. You can absolutely
sliding
send,
into the direct mousage.
You can absolutely send a mouse sext to Mephibal if you want.
I'm DAMing him. Direct animal messaging him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I haven't cast any of my spells today, and I have 2 level 1 spells.
Okay.
So
the origin of the thought right here.
But bam.
Got it.
Could you say something a little holier, please?
Baruch.
Perfect. Okay, so
I have another cousin named Baruch. Great guy.
You find a mouse in the alley.
You hold it up in your hands, and mm-hmm. you whisper your sweet message.
Just like Ratatouille the movie, but like super holy.
I thought you were gonna say super horny.
That was a horny
Both.
Movie.
Hey.
Yeah, you're right. How could it get any hornier than Ratatouille? Great point, Craig. You whisper your sweet message to the mouse and let him free.
DTF. Pass it on.
He runs back inside the manor, and he's gone for a couple minutes. And I think I have to roll stealth for this mouse to get up this guy's leg. Because, like...
Does it count as my stealth? Because I have good stealth, I think.
What's your stealth?
Or my move silently, yeah. which is the closest to self, is plus 7.
It's pretty fucking good. And you got to imagine, a mouse is tiny mm-hmm. and pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy's sitting down at dinner, so it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But he's horny and desperate.
You don't know that.
For the mouse?
Don't project onto him.
No, the mouse is just the messenger. 14? Liminal.
He just made it up. I mean, he, like, as he's noticing that there's a mouse there, he can barely, and he's like, I don't know, 4 glasses of date wine in at this point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he's a little Same. Gone. But just as he notices, like, oh my god, what the fuck is that? It's a mouse. The mouse is able to squeak out its message.
DTF! Hey, DTF!
And he thinks, oh my god, I've lost it. The mouse was just talking to me. And he brushes it aside and he pushes forward his glass of date wine. Never again. But then he thinks, who's DTF?
He takes the glass of wine closer to him again.
And he takes a sip.
And he says yes again.
And he thinks,
not never again.
What if someone is DTF? W me.
Seems worth checking out, am I right?
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Is your group ready and willing to lie in wait for this fellow outside?
I'm ready.
Yeah, I would like to. I'm not a big combat guy, so I would like to stalk him invisibly. So I'd like to see if I can watch him leave dinner, go up to his room.
Could you kind of like lead him out? Or no, you're going to go like look in his room.
I could try to lead him out if he is, for some reason, getting second thoughts.
Okay. So
he'd be like, psst, this way.
So you...
I have... Yeah, I can do...
You can do ventriloquism.
I've got spells and stuff, yeah.
So you want to make yourself invisible
mm-hmm.
and go inside, back inside the villa.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. What is it... We haven't asked this yet, but what does it look like when Bonanza uses some his bardic magic? Does he sing a song? Does he do a chant? What does he do?
Go ahead.
Any of you play that computer game Age of Empires? And when the priests would cast spells, they'd go, Ulu, Ulu. That's kind of what I feel like it would look like.
Yeah, it was like C-3PO like having sex. It was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very. It's an idiotic thing where I make motions and a weird cooing noise, and then I kind of flicker out like an old TV tube dying.
Oh, sweet, I like that.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So you stealthily make your way back inside. You saw that they didn't lock the servants' gate, presumably mm-hmm. because...
Servants.
Who knew? And you can easily make your way back. Everybody's still at dinner. for the moment, but it looks like it's breaking up. So if you want to go to his room, you probably only have a couple minutes in there.
I don't know exactly where it is, so I'm just going to...
That's a really good point.
I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm going to try to figure it out. Maybe use some of my...
How about search?
Search skill, which I do not have. Okay, give it a shot. Nope. Failed. Five.
Yeah, you're walking around the upper floors looking for something that you might... Like a sign on it that says Mephi Baal's room, stay out. Or like, you know.
Mom, stop moving my clothes.
No girls allowed.
You don't find anything. But while you're snooping around, you do spot him going up the staircase to the next floor.
Mm.
And he's stumbling a little bit. He's nice. Not looking the best for wear. The best for wear? Is that a thing that people say?
The worse for wear, the better for wear.
The better for wear. Thank you.
That's good copywriting, Priesty.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna follow him.
For editing.
I'm gonna be on the lookout for skulls.
On the lookout for skulls. Mm-hmm. Well, there's one stuck inside his fleshy head. You know that for sure.
There's at least one skull present. There's at least
two. That's right. Incriminating enough.
You follow him to his room. His room and you can sneak in right behind him because you're frankly invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that it's actually like it's like a big suite, big enough for a family. So his wife and children are in there too. He takes some water out of a pail and wipes down his face a little bit.
All right, cool.
Anything you want to search for in particular? Skulls.
See what kind of water it is. See if the water's poisoned.
I doubt he'd be washing his face with poison water, but
well,
I will
maybe
go.
Maybe it's not poison to him because of his dark magic.
All right. Hey, let's just keep fiction here. For
Okay.
You can't actually be whispering.
Can I cast another? Can I cast detect magic as I am invisible?
I don't think so.
It's not an offensive spell.
I understand, but people would hear you doing your woo woo.
Those aren't my woo woos.
You said it, and now that's the fiction that we live.
That's just for going in. Okay. All right. So yes, I will physically, like a lamoid, look for delicious little lambs to poach. I mean. God damn it. For skulls.
It seems like a standard, like, rich person's apartment, mm-hmm. like, to you, as far as you can tell. You don't see anything obviously creepy or that reminds you of the scarecrows that you saw earlier.
Okay, so he probably wouldn't keep that here. Right. Well,
he is starting to head back out the door, though.
Yeah, and so
he's giving a lame-ass excuse to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Saying he needs to check in on some of the remote aqueducts tonight, that there have been reports of all this stuff and that he needs to stay up and do everything. But he is visibly swaying.
Typical.
All right. And just before I go, and I want to follow him out the door, is there anything like a ledger, diary, anything I can see? Does he have a writing desk or table or parchment or anything that I can grab?
There's nothing written down in this place. You doubt he's literate.
Literate.
Okay. Yeah, most people aren't.
Most people aren't, period. Because this is occurring in about 800 BC.
Okay. All right, well then I will just simply follow him out the door, and if there's anything of value, I might just grab it for interrogative purposes. Anything that looks like it's worth.
Okay.
How come his piety points are never fucked up?
He's a Hittite. You need to obey the God of Israel.
Give me an appraise check. We'll say since you're visible, actually stealing a thing is not that difficult, but give me an appraise check.
21. Blackjack.
Well, you know, I mean, let's say there's a very finely embroidered shawl hung up near the door.
Oh, that shawl you got?
And it's beautiful. Hey. Looks like it took, I don't know, hundreds of hours of work to embroider this shawl in the traditional colors of the town.
Okay.
Lovely piece of work. If you throw it around your shoulders, it'll be invisible and you can just walk out.
Okay. Is this like a tefillin situation? Is this like
no,
a,
he's not
like
a
tzitzit? Is this a holy fringe?
This is not a holy fringe. This is decorative.
Got it.
I would like to pocket the shawl just for interrogative purposes. I'm just going to be, I'll question him with it later. Maybe I'll tie him up with it or something. Yeah.
Or I'll wear it for my bat mitzvah.
Absolutely. For stealing, you lose 3 piety.
Finally. Welcome downstairs.
I'm not that low yet.
Aw.
But you follow him. He also goes out the servant's entrance.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're following him, you see, you're walking behind him, and you see him approaching the spot where you know your two compatriots are posted up waiting.
Mm-hmm.
That's us.
He walks into your view. He's walking down the alley. It's late at night. There's no one else around.
Mm-hmm. Now's my moment to shine, I guess, you guys.
I guess so.
I'd be like, hey, boy, hey.
Yeah. How does she do hey, boy, hey? Can she cast the hey, boy, hey spell?
Is it a spell or is it like a shimmy?
You approach him and you say you sent the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, wow, you're more beautiful than I could have ever imagined.
Obviously.
Who'd have thought such a beautiful sorceress would wander into my sight this very night?
I'm going to use my use rope skill to tie him up.
Okay. Roll me a die there.
Okay.
Is this an attack or what?
Yeah, it's an attack. This is not a happy thing.
Oh, yeah. Use rope.
And I have +3, so it's a 20.
Okay, well, I'm going to say you get your rope out before this guy even knows what's going on. And suddenly...
Drunk targets are so easy.
You've got him nearly tied up. But while you're doing this, you thought the alley was deserted. And in fact, it was. But you do hear footsteps behind you.
Bonanza, go distract them. That's like your whole job.
Okay. I mean, do I see what's coming?
A strange fog has descended.
Oh no!
And it's quite difficult to see.
Can we do like a perception check or something?
Yeah. Give me a spot roll.
Ooh, I have +5 on spot. Ooh.
You cannot spot.
Oh, okay.
You are tying a man up.
Yeah, that's true.
I have +2.
Do it, because I failed. 18.
16 +2, 18.
Well, maybe it's your kosher diet, or maybe it's the risk-free way you've lived your life, but somehow you were able to spot some figures moving towards you through the fog. You see three figures, and they appear to be wearing dark robes.
Dark robes?
Ooh, you can also see that they have something in their hands, tools, implements, weapons, something in their hands. And they're approaching.
Am I done tying him up yet?
He is tied up.
Okay.
Cool. Seems like we might need to fight these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What my character would like to do, I think, is cast Glitter Dust. Not clitoris. I'm not talking about the hyena's pseudo penis anymore. Glitter Dust.
Why not? We should make the whole podcast about that.
So Glitter Dust blinds creatures and outlines invisible creatures. So I'm trying to blind and make these guys visible to us.
Okay.
Ooh, I like that.
That is a very fabulous move.
It glitter is fabulous.
Glitter Dust, you, Bonanza.
So despite not knowing anything about these figures approaching you, you turn to the fog and you throw your Glitter Dust.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't he have to roll for some shit?
In order to make them visible, he does not need to roll anything. Nice. In order to blind them, they need to save against his spell.
Yeah.
Ooh, and they did not.
They did not.
What did they roll?
They rolled poorly, my dear.
They rolled a
amateurs.
2.
Disgusting.
Like suckers.
Wow. Okay. They're all blind.
Yes,
they've
baby.
All been blinded.
Yes.
I seem like a loser, and I am, but...
So everybody needs to roll initiative, because you just started a fucking street fight.
Yay!
Oh, no.
I got a 15.
I got a 16.
I'm a lousy bodyguard, you guys.
You're last.
Yeah, I didn't do well. My hands still hurt from all the rope play
yeah,
I just
you're
engaged
still, you're
in.
You're still, you know, you're tied up with the rope tying.
Yeah.
So, Bonanza has, with his surprisingly effective first move, earned himself the first turn in combat here. You've got three stunned opponents ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're a little closer and that they're fully visible, of course, because of the glitter dust,
mm-hmm.
you can see what you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
You see three... will look like men, but they're wearing dark, almost shapeless robes.
Mm.
Could be women. We don't know.
That's right.
Death Eaters.
They're the size of human beings.
Nazgul.
With large cowls that cover their face.
Mm.
The robes are black, almost purplish black in the light.
Ooh. I might have to filch one of those.
Like a grackle.
They're holding They're each holding weapons, but they look like simple weapons. One of them has a hatchet, another has a club, and the third has a sickle, like a farmer's tool.
Is it a farmer's tool or is it the Grim Reaper's tool?
I think if you look within yourself, you'll find that it can be both. So what is Bonanza going to do faced with these three opponents in this foggy alley in Jericho?
All right. I think that I'm going to throw a dagger at the one that looks the scariest to me, and I'm going to keep a good distance between me and these assholes.
Okay. I'm going to bet that the sickle boy looks the scariest to you, because as we discussed, that is the Grim Reaper's tool.
True.
All right. Yeah, I do not like death. I'm 69, and I can smell its hot breath on the nape of my neck, so I'm going to say, hey, here's a dagger right up your keista. Move along, buddy Roo. And it's a 17.
Nice. It's a hit.
That's a one. I nicked nice. Him. That guy, his nose hair is trim.
Perfect shot. It just grazes his cheek and takes a chunk out of his ear.
Ooh.
Oof.
All right,
that's
Van
a
Gogh.
Lot for a one.
Yeah.
And it's Lauren's turn.
I have a magic weapon. Weapon gains +1 bonus. Can I give that? Can I cast that on Neva's weapon?
Longbow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That would be a great move.
I'll do that.
Okay. What is it? We haven't seen you cast any spells in battle here.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to invoke the power of your god to help Neva strike down these alley lurkers?
I simply fall on my knees and, Baruch Ata Adonai, and God helps me out.
Always good in battle to just, like, present yourself for decapitation. Hey, scythe guy!
Hey, when God is on your side, you cannot be defeated.
Do a quick Shema, you'll be really good.
She fell to her knees. She prayed for God's intervention in this righteous battle.
He
prayed.
He
fell to his knees.
Thank you.
Prayed for God's righteous intervention in this battle to help his protector protect him and thereby protect the Lord's mission, gains 1 piety.
Woohoo!
And
wait, does that mean I gain 1 piety?
Yes. And Neva's weapon gains +1 attack and +1 damage for the remainder of the fight.
Okay. I'm going to, because I assume it's my turn now. Yeah?
It is not. It's actually the shadowy figure's time to move.
Oh.
So Sickle Boy comes up to you, Bonanza. And so he'll take a swing with that sickle.
Oof, God.
And that'll be an 11.
And that fails. And I definitely dodge it and be like, fear of death is the only thing keeping me alive.
Beautiful. Nicely done. Club Boy is going to run up to the...
Is he wearing like a glow-in-the-dark necklace with like a pacifier?
Yeah. Expensive sneakers, but like cheap jeans.
Yeah.
I don't get it. The club boy is going to run up to the newly presented target of a priest on his knees.
Oh, no.
And he's going to try to simply going to try to clobber you.
For me. What do I have to roll?
Nothing. Does a 16 beat your armor class?
My armor class is 13.
So it does.
Oh, equals 10 plus. Yeah, 13.
So are you dead?
No, she takes 2 points of damage.
Excuse
me. The character takes 2 points of damage. The player takes no points of damage.
Ithamar is my name.
You're right. I apologize.
Okay, wait, let me find my hit points.
Your hit points
15.
Are 15, and you have 10 temporary hit points because of your resounding faith.
Oh, yes. I see. Current HP 25.
Baller.
So like minus 2 HP.
Correct. Now. And finally, Axe Lord is going to run, take a swing at Neva. And it's going to hit.
Ooh.
That's a 20.
Yeah. My armor class is 16.
That's really good, but it still hits.
Yeah. 20. A natural 20 hits no matter what, right?
No, it wasn't.
This was an unnatural 20.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not.
Ooh, everything about them is spooky.
And you will take 8 points
of
damage.
Oh, my gosh.
20 hit points. I'm down to, I mean.
But it's Bonanza's turn. Now everybody's all up in the shit. It's a street
Wait,
brawl.
Wait, what about her turn?
You know what? That's a great point, Greg.
It is.
I am a bodyguard.
Because it's your turn right now.
Okay. So now it doesn't make sense to use the longbow.
Well, actually, you have a feat that lets you shoot the bow at close range without causing...
Like Legolas?
Exactly. Yep.
Dope.
It lets you shoot at close range without causing attacks of opportunity, which are a fun thing that everyone loves to talk about. And without
not technical at all.
Suffering any penalty.
Okay, I'm going to do that to the guy who just hit me.
Absolutely.
Because for fuck's sake, dude.
So roll a d20. So
these guys are blind. They're not getting any negatives.
Well, yeah, they are blind.
They got really lucky this round.
Six plus seven plus one because of your blessing. So 14.
You hit him. Absolutely. Yeah, take so roll it. Damage.
Okay. Is that with a 20 again?
No, that will be with...
The foresighted?
No. So on your character sheet next to the longbow, it should say the damage there.
1d8 plus one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll actually add two to that because you got a magic ass weapon.
10.
Max.
Suck it. My longbow.
Legolas.
You cripple this guy.
Like forever?
Well, I mean, you catch him. You catch him right in the throat.
Okay.
And he drops to his knees. Yeah. It's not looking good. Like people don't survive getting hit in the throat by an arrow at close range.
I really hope that this brawl was worth it, you guys. But also, can I send Xena Warrior Princess into attack?
Of course. Would you like to attack the same person?
No, he's had a rough enough day. I'm going to go after the guy who went for Priesty.
Okay.
So Xena has an attack bonus of 3. So do I roll?
You roll a d20 20? And add 3 to it.
Oof, 21. Get it, Xena.
Xena's getting in there.
Oof. Okay. And then do I roll that same 8-sided dice? For...
No, down at the bottom you'll see your...
D2,
D4. 2d4.
Roll that triangle twice.
This one?
Mm-hmm. 3 and...
Oh, okay. I don't even know what I'm looking at here.
A two.
Yeah.
So 5 total damage. Yeah. What does it look like when Xena gets a hold of somebody?
They have locking jaws. They're so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And their necks are really strong. It's vicious and terrible. But he should rue the day he attacked a priestie.
That's
the good
fair.
News is this one... This hyena was not in the center at Berkeley and therefore does not have capped canines.
Yeah. God, your recall's so good. Love that drunk safari call out. Yeah, no, she has her real canines. Get it, Zeta.
It's Bonanza's turn.
All right. So just so I know, where the hell is our target, is our main guy? Is he
your guy is roped up.
Mm-hmm.
He's struggling against the wall.
Yeah.
He maybe is trying to get away, but he's like making very slow progress in terms of the scale of this fight.
Okay.
So he's behind you right now.
Okay.
We don't want him to get hurt.
I would like. So if I move towards him, will they get an attack of opportunity? Or are they blind?
They will not get an attack of opportunity.
So I would like to just go over towards him, proximity wise, sure, and throw a dagger from there at Sickle Man.
Awesome.
Okay. Hey, I miss.
What is it? What'd you roll?
I rolled an 8.
Yeah, that unfortunately does not hit. Your dagger goes clattering into the alleyway.
And just now I admit I got a little glitter dust in my eye when I cast it. Hey, you know, it happens. It's a little flashback.
It's Ethamar's turn.
Okay, let me see here. What's my spell options?
Just a warning, when somebody has tried to club you and you cast a spell right next to them, they get a chance to hit you again.
Oh no. So okay, does that mean I should like
put
smack
on your
him?
Maccabee face? Come on, get in
there. You
could
try to smack him, you could try to run away and hope that since he's blind it will be very difficult for him to hit you.
I mean, it should be difficult for him to hit me if I smack him also, right?
Well, he won't get an extra opportunity to hit you if you just hit him with your staff.
Oh, but wait. If you hit him with your staff and you draw blood, are you no longer ceremonially clean?
Well, I can't touch a dead body.
Okay.
And I can't touch blood.
Right. But a staff should keep you far enough away,
right? I think a staff should keep me far enough away.
Like, be strategic about this.
Moses used his all the time. We're good.
Well, yeah, but he used
very rarely
wrong
to crack skulls. Not like Donatello.
Shin, you're censored, Bible. I got the real thing. Bible PG-13. That
when
thing is
Moses
dirty.
Moses struck the rock to produce water.
It bled water, yeah.
He
yeah
did it in...
He could smell what it was cooking.
But he did it so incorrectly that...
Incorrectly.
He did it so...
She said it wrong, guys.
You're so ignorant.
Well, the show's over, everybody. She said it wrong.
He did it so incorrectly that he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land. So staffs are serious business. Staves.
Did you
are
hear the theory that he wandered all that time so that that generation of ignorant ass idol worshippers would die off and the next generation would be like,
dude,
a blank slate?
That's smart because like it was 40 years. You know, people, that's like the life expectancy back then. Yeah. You know, people were born and died, and a lot of the people who made the promised land didn't see that golden calf.
Yeah.
That Aaron had to deal with. My ancestor. Mm.
This is great. What are you going to do?
Okay.
Theological debate in the middle of an alley.
Spoken like a true priest.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, so like there's a hyena on him.
Yes.
So I feel like I want to just heal Neva.
Okay.
Again,
if you cast a spell right next to him,
he's going to get a whack at you.
He's going to hear you chanting, and he's just going to strike out blindly.
But, like, he's blind, so he might not hit me.
He's probably not going to hit you, yeah.
And he's also being attacked by a hyena.
Mm-hmm. You have piety points to spare.
That's true. An option in Testament is if you have a thing that you need to happen, including casting a spell that you don't know or creating an effect that would be extraordinary, you can ask God for it. That is a thing. If you're in a life or death situation and you absolutely need something, you can ask God for it.
I don't think I'm in a life or death situation yet.
Okay.
Because I'm at 23 hit points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think even if he hits me, it's not a life or death situation.
I think that's fair.
So
I'm just throwing that out there as general knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Good foreshadowing.
I want to cast a healing spell on Neva because she just took like eight damage points, right?
She did.
Okay, let me see what I have here. Cure light wounds.
That sounds great.
Cures 1d8 damage plus 1 slash level.
That's
max
right.
Max plus 5.
Mm-hmm. And you're level 3, so you would roll a d8 and add 3 to that. Okay, so...
I got a 5.
You recover 8 points.
Woo-hoo! And,
unfortunately, this club boy just got the luckiest... swing of his life.
Oh no.
He hears the chanting and he swings wildly, and it frankly connects right with the top of your head.
Oh no.
Ouch.
What happens to me?
You take let's see, 13 points of damage.
Whoa.
Yikes.
Yikes.
So
I'm down to 10.
You took the risk, and frankly, you got burned.
I got burned.
You
got
to use that staff.
Yeah, I will, dude. Next turn.
And it catches you right on the top of the turban, and the turban looks great, but it provides almost no protection.
Correct.
Especially when a club or other club-like object might come swinging at your dome.
Yeah, you might want to try a turbelment.
Excuse me?
Turbelment.
Patent pending.
It's the shadowy figure's turn, everybody.
All right, shadowy figure.
The sickle-wielding figure. Mm. You see him pull, like, a jar or something out of his sleeve.
Uh-oh.
And he's going to hurl it in your general direction.
Yikes.
Where he thinks that...
Simply
thinks that,
yikes.
Where he thinks the dagger came from.
I'm sickle of his shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not gonna hit you or anything, mm-hmm, like that.
But it's jarring.
But it is going to smash near your feet, and you do smell like an awful smell when this jar smashes.
Oh, fart jar.
Yeah.
Familiar.
It's a classic fart jar situation. But what you actually see is it's filled with like this, I don't know, this oily black substance.
Caught them.
It's like red-jarred. It's like sort of a chunky black jelly.
Ah, that sounds like napalm.
And it looks a little like it's got little pieces in it or something.
Oh.
Pieces?
Oh, it's boba.
Delicious.
No, it's the thing in the scars.
Anyway.
No.
You know, you get a little bit of glass coming at you, but it does. You're in no danger. They're just...
People hurl drinks at me all the time.
Yeah, it's de rigueur for you. Mm. The club user is going to turn and try to hit this weird dog that just bit it.
Xena, warrior princess. Oh, no.
And he rolled a 13. Does that meet?
Okay.
So, unfortunately, that is just going to hit Xena.
Yeah. So, now you're going to roll for damage.
What kind of blind negatives do they have?
And it's going to be 4 damage
to
that dog. And nobody likes this. Nobody likes to hear this, but the hyena does get hit by a club.
Oh, How fucking dare you? Well, I know what I'm doing with my turn.
The axe fellow that just caught an arrow in the neck is almost preternaturally determined. Rises up and swings wildly with the axe, trying to catch you with it. And misses horribly. Obviously, the massive impact to his neck and the fact that his blood is just gushing out of his body.
Sit down, dude.
Loses the battle for him. Yeah. But he's still operational. Not for much longer.
I mean, sort of.
Yeah, okay. Like an ant missing five of its legs, that's fine.
And it's Nita's turn.
Okay, I'm definitely going to go for the guy who hit my amazing spotted hyena, Xena Warrior Princess.
Okay.
I agree with this decision.
Yeah. Oof. That is a one.
That's an automatic miss.
Good talk.
Maybe as you were aiming the arrow to take down the dog smacker, the wild axe swing just barely threw you off enough.
I feel like my emotions would have gotten in the way.
Almost certainly.
But Xena can still attack.
That's right.
Sick him. 8 plus 3, so 11.
It doesn't quite go.
She's nervous.
Poor baby.
She might have just been knocked out of her stride and she sort of nips maybe a little cautiously as opposed to the full-bodied bite that she was able to give that first round.
Hey, girl, we'll get your groove back.
Yeah, we'll get our groove back.
But the third round of combat begins and it's Bonanza's turn.
All right, I'm getting sick of this crap. And so what I'm going to do is cast Summon Monster 1 and call an extraplanar creature to fight me. Fight for me.
I was like, why would you do that?
Get out your plane and fight me.
So, in honor of I've imagined that Carchemish is like the ancient New York.
Okay.
I'm going to summon a leprechaun to bite the hell out of these guys. So yeah, I'm going to summon a leprechaun to bite the hell out of these guys.
As someone with the last name O'Neill, I'm extremely offended.
Well, I'm not going to say my last name, but it is Irisher than that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's not Irisher, but it's the same.
So well, O means grand. Grandson of, but Mech means son of, so I'm legitimate. You're a bastard.
Yeah, but Neil means champion.
Yeah, well, my last name, I can't say it. I don't want to dox myself. But no dox for me. That's right. I'll take
it. I don't want to dox myself.
It's just interesting that, so Carchemish is the New York of...
Hey, I'm walking in.
Of Hati, which means that you summon a leprechaun.
Well, whatever the equivalent is, I don't know. I've
the
had a few whiskeys.
You have a very interesting history in New York City. Cool. Long and
just making it clear. Any way you can Hittite that up for me a little bit?
All right. Instead of a leprechaun, we'll make it. It's a deformed cherub. It's like a demonic cherub with wings. It's like a fat baby with these fangs in its mouth. It's got a pseudopenis as well. And it looks at the hyena pseudopenis like, well, nicely done, fella. Well, good on ya. I like what you got going there.
You know, I asked for it and I got it. Yeah, so
you did this.
Really nothing else for it.
Definitely not a leprechaun. It doesn't have a pot of gold at all. It's got a jar of silver, totally different.
All right.
And a pseudopenis.
What does your small friend do?
Well, he's got a tiny little bow and arrow and teeth. And what he does is he runs up and he bites ankles and then the bow and arrow, they think he's going to fire it. But instead he just kind of scratches his back with it.
Okay. So who is this young man going to bite?
He's going to go up to Sickle Man. He's going to try to bite his Achilles tendon right out of his leg.
All right. Roll me a D20.
It's a 10. I don't know what their bonuses are.
We'll say it's plus 3. So you hit and with the bite, give me a d4 plus 2.
All right, well, look at that. I rolled a 3. 3 plus 2, 5.
Man, that thing has fucking nasty-ass teeth. That is absolutely brutal, because you didn't expect to see...
You didn't expect to offend every ethnicity that exists.
nor did anyone else expect to see a baby just take a literal chunk out of a man's leg.
It's a dirty baby with Samaritan dental hygiene.
In a street fight.
That's a callback.
But you did. But you saw it. And that's... That you're never unseeing that. It's Ethamar's turn.
I'm overwhelmed. Let me there's three mans, a yep. sickle, a club, and a what? Axe?
Mm-hmm.
And the club guy is the one attacking me, right?
Correct.
And he's got the hyena on him, but the hyena was not as effective as might be hoped.
She missed.
Correct.
On the last turn. So I should either attack this guy or heal myself.
Because
I only have 10 HP left.
Yes. Although, once again, if you cast a spell next to somebody, they can tell and they'll be able to attack you.
Remember what happened last time when he kicked the shit out of you? I think it's time to use your staff.
Okay. How do I use my staff?
You roll a d20 and add your attack bonus, which is listed next to the weapon on your character sheet.
Total attack bonus is 4.
Okay, so you roll a d20 and add 4 to it.
Damage 1d... Okay, critical... Okay, I'm going to roll a d20.
Please.
Fortunately, I rolled a 1.
Yeah, it's like you've never used a staff before. It's like you've never even swung a weapon in anger. Everyone in the fight turns and looks at this strange thing as if...
I'm a priest. I don't normally fight, okay?
Obviously not. Because it's the shadowy figure's turn. The blindness now from the glitter dust has worn off. And the man with the sickle is going to try to rush at Bonanza and end this. One way or the other.
I hate this guy.
That's an 11.
And that's a miss. I'm very dexterous. I just step out of the way and say,
do you have to keep doing the accent? It's so weird how Bonanza's got a different accent now.
Try again, buddy.
I like that a lot better.
I liked you better blind.
It's generically offensive as opposed to specifically offensive. Club man taking umbrage at maybe the ineptitude of the attempted attack is gonna swing back and try to club you back.
Oh, no.
Club back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 15 to hit.
Oh, my armor class is 13.
Yeah.
And that's 4 damage.
Oh, no.
You're getting low. Get low.
Okay.
Axe Boy is going to take another wild swing. I mean, he's really offered very few options.
This fucking guy. Like,
you're,
die.
You're, like, literally shooting arrows over his head.
Like, fucking
to try
die.
To hit someone else. And that one's definitely going to hit. That's a 20 to hit.
Ugh. Oh my god.
And that's 6 damage.
That's fine. That's fine. I still have 22 hit points. He can
I'm like about to die. I only have 6 hit points left.
Okay. What the fuck? Feels like a waste to attack the guy with the arrow in his neck. Because club guy is fucking you up so much. I'm going to attack club guy again with a longbow.
Hit the shot this time.
Well, 15.
Don't forget your plus one.
Definitely hits. She got it.
16. Okay. 16. So then 1d8 plus 1, and I rolled a 1.
2.
So 2.
No, you actually get plus 2 because you got a, because it's been magically enchanted by a blessing from
literally from
God.
I blessed it.
Awesome. I mean, you catch him in the shoulder. He's looking real bad.
Is he looking as bad as the guy with the arrow in his neck? Because I was told that guy was almost dead.
They are looking exactly as bad.
Ugh.
I agree that they're both equally almost dead.
Xena is going to go after the club guy.
Okay.
Yes, Xena.
That's a hit.
Get it, Xena. And then she rolls this little dice twice.
Correct. That's a 1.
Okay, it's in my glasses.
And that's a 1.
She
kills him.
Yes, yes.
I mean, is it the first time that your hyena
has
ever?
Yes, queen.
I mean, hyena just killed a man in the alley. This is your first night in town.
Thank
it's been
God.
A good night.
Praise God.
I'm just proud of her. No, it's not the first time she's killed someone.
Okay,
please.
Good.
She's a hyena.
She's a hyena.
It's Bonanza's turn.
All right. Oh, sorry. All right, A. So, and I can direct my little creature to kill. So anyway, my creature is not a leprechaun and it's not a cherub. Its name is Jari.
And Jari is the god of plague and pestilence for the Hittite people, and he's lord of the bow. So he's got a bow for show.
Well, he can't be a fucking cherub. But he uses his dirty little teeth. Well, he's Hittite.
It's a little image of this god.
It's one of his lesser demons, but it retains his aspect. Look, your little religious imperialism is not going to stand right now. I got your back. I'm trying to help you out.
Fine, so, I have 6 hit points. I'll allow it.
So am I able to send him on an attack while I am also healing the priest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I would like to cast a little bit of what we like to call the Cure Light Wound on the priest as my cherub attempts to rip the Achilles. He's really focused on the Achilles of this fellow. It's a tender.
The sickle tendon. Wielder?
Has Achilles happened yet?
So,
no, it's a really good pregame. It's a big tendon back there. It's Aaron's tendon.
That's what he was named for, of course.
Well, when did Achilles, when did the Battle of Troy?
Do you mind if we do this podcast?
Yeah, sorry.
Before we do that podcast?
Yeah.
All right, so
when did Achilles happen? I recordedhistory.net podcast.
I'm going to cast a cure light wound.
Before you do that, I mean, you will prompt an attack of opportunity if you cast a spell right next to a fellow.
Othello. No, okay, so then I will do the Jari's attack first.
That makes a lot of sense.
And Jari is a baby god. Okay, here we go. Hey, all right. 16 plus perfect. Whatever. And then the D4 with the mangy mouth. There we go. And it's another 3.
Another 3. I mean, like, he's looking truly awful, but he's not down for the count. The Jari has latched himself onto his midsection and is hanging by the teeth. But you feel like this guy still might have a swing or two left in him.
He wants his sweetbreads. All right. And then I will I provoke an attack of opportunity and heal the priest because really is my life. I rolled a 7 plus 3. That is a 10.
Yeah. And the attack of opportunity misses horribly.
He rolled a 1? Mm. Nice. Looks like Yahweh's on my side. Blue bolt.
So what healing do I get?
You get 10 points up to your maximum of 15.
But it feels dirty. It feels like hit points that have been harvested from like, you know, like old people and sick people. It's like the hit points don't feel great, but they'll work for now. But it's like, I need a night's rest to get this stink off of me.
Okay, so plus 10.
Yes, but only up to 15 maximum.
Oh, but up to 15 maximum. Okay, so I'm up to 15.
You had 10 temporary hit points because you were a very pious person. That was God's literal.
And those are gone now.
Those were God's physical protection of you in lieu of any armor that you might wear.
Okay, so I'm at 15. And the dude in front of me is like about to die, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, the dude in front of you is dead.
Oh, the dude in front of me is dead.
He's mm-hmm. quite dead, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's quite dead.
He got killed by a hyena with a pseudopenis.
Yep.
Okay. Who's left?
There's a fellow with an axe who's still swinging wildly at Neva.
Get the axe guy.
And there's a fellow with a sickle who is also, I mean, these guys seem to be almost possessed in how single-mindedly they are trying to kill you people. Mm.
Who has a little offensive leprechaun on them?
Sickle man.
The sickle boy.
Okay.
He's got an ancient Hittite god attached to his sternum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess I'll hit the guy that doesn't have a leprechaun on him.
Perfect. Great choice.
What do I do?
D20.
D20.
4.
It's 4.
I rolled a 4.
Perfect. Yeah, you miss. You may not be cut out to be a combat priest for the Lord.
Wait, okay, what's my fucking...
You're an excellent priest and a shitty fighter.
Intensely sorry.
These fellows are going to start to run. It's time to go.
Okay. Attacks of opportunity, do they not exist?
They do happen. Yes. Because the Axeman is going to run, which means you are given an attack of opportunity, Neva.
Which absolutely I will take. 20.
Oh my 20. God.
This dude is so jamoked.
We're not going to roll damage or anything. This guy runs off down the street and you go in. It's poetry in motion. The arrow comes out of your quiver and you knock it with a single motion and turn your head away just to show off. Release
that sounds
it.
Sounds like me.
Release it, and there's just the whishing of an arrow and then a body fall into the ground. It's as.
And can I send Xena to attack
no,
the
this
other
is just,
one?
This is just an attack of opportunity. Xena doesn't get to do anything.
Okay.
However, the other fellow, the scythe fellow, is indeed trying to run away,
uh-huh.
which means you get an attack of opportunity.
And
the little boy does, too.
Okay, all right. I'll go first. I'm going to use the jawbone of my ass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we haven't even mentioned it before, but when the fight started, did you pulled out this yeah. weapon that's mm-hmm. very important to you.
One, I rolled a one. Oh, no.
I rolled a one. I pull it out. I'm like, hey. Talking about taking ancient relics. So I whip out this glory with a major flourish. You can almost hear the fanfare. You see this glistening white, looks like a donkey's jawbone. And I hold it aloft like I'm going to do something fabulous with it. I'm like, behold the very jawbone that Samson used to slew all the disbelievers and the Hittites and those scoundrel heathens.
To slay.
And then I will wield it, and it'll tell me what happens.
By the time you finish the speech, the guy is like 15 feet down the alley, and he's gone. And you just swing in the air.
And luckily, there was a cherub attached to him, and it's going to get a bite. And the cherub rolls an 18.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the guy is halfway down the alley, and you hear a crunch as this cherub bites all the way through something. And the fellow drops dead in the alley. So you've conquered the mysterious assassins, and you're left with a hostage that you believe to be of some value to your investigation. I'd say it's a pretty productive first day. Thank you for joining us for the second episode of our mini season 2.5. As we said last week, if you're not into fun and cool adventures with the Bible flavor that you need, don't worry. We'll be back to a more regular format, the Sunday School Dropouts Classic Edition, you might say.
Quote unquote.
That'll be in season 3. That's coming up real soon.
We want to thank our guests, Maggie Takuda Hall from the Drunk Safari podcast. She's on Twitter at MT Hall, EMTEEHALL, and also Greg, who you may recognize from his Twitter account, which is at Leduc Violet.
We are on Twitter ourselves, of course, at Sunschool Drop. I'm on Twitter, thanks to you, the wonderful fans, at Nico Bakulich, NIKOBAKULICH.
I'm Lauren O'Neill. O'Neill spelled with an A like Shaquille spells it.
You can also send us email, comments, questions, dogs, cats, at our email web address, which is contact@sundayschooldropouts.lol.
Wasn't sure you were going to get there, but you pulled it out of the fire at the last minute, baby.
I don't like to see him burned.
And of course, thank you to Elise Carlton for our logo. Thank you to Nico for music, sound engineering, and audio engineering, whatever he does, all the stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's a true mark of respect when she learns what it is I do.
I've said it like 85 times. Whatever. See you on Sunday.
We'll see you on Sunday. Bye.